Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Listen, we got a friend of ours on the phone, Matt Clark, with the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty, an attorney who is there whose sole mission in life is to address the grievances, a lot of which relate to constitutional rights and liberties being infringed upon. And Matt sent out a press release this morning, and I immediately contacted him and said, hey, man, got to have you on the show. Because you've heard about it on this show. We broke the news, about 3 weeks ago about United Launch Alliance over in Decatur. Well, they were not providing exemptions. They were terminating their employees well ahead of any federal mandated deadlines. And the people were actually doing walkouts. Well, now there's a class action lawsuit filed by Matt Clark against ULA as of today. And Matt Clark is on the line. Hey, Matt, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, listen, you've been busy lately. We had you on talking about another lawsuit recently, and now you got this one today. And my understanding from your press release is this is filed not just you, it's also in conjunction with another organization called the Constitutional Council Group. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So my co-counsel on this is John Eastman. He has long been the head of the Center for Constitutional Jurisprudence out in California. He's been well respected in conservative academic circles. As a matter of fact, Justice Alito said a couple of years ago, whenever there's a high profile case in front of him on the U.S. Supreme Court, one of the first questions that he asks is, where's the originalist brief? And by that, he means he's looking for John Eastman's brief. So it's a real honor to have him, on the case with us. He's taking some heat in the media right now because, he was involved in, you know, trying to help Trump, save the election, but, you know, haters gonna hate. He's a great attorney, and glad to team up with him.
Well, that's great, man, and I love the idea of two organizations, you being with the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty, and then his organization collaboratively working on this. So this particular case you filed today, I've got a copy of it here, and I've not had a chance to go through the whole thing because it's one of those that has lots of pages. But I'm just getting hold of it. You've got five plaintiffs who are ULA employees or former employees. And they have filed suit on behalf of a class seeking to be certified as a class action case. Is that correct?
Yep, that's absolutely right. So these five employees are folks that we've been in contact with personally. We tried to, you know, help them with the accommodation process. And ULA has just kind of decided that they're not going to grant any of their accommodation requests. When we looked at the forms that they got back from ULA denying their request, it looked like it had just been rubber stamped, and it was the same thing. It was boilerplate language saying, well, we got a variety of reasons, including, you know, the foremost of which was we're getting too many requests to accommodate everybody. So it looks like we're just doing blanket denials. So because of that, we decided we're going to stick up for them, help them out, and try to help out, everybody else that's in the same position.
So this particular case, Matt, that you've got, are your five plaintiffs, now I realize they're seeking to be certified as a class for the purpose of representing all of the employees of ULA, but are they, for right now, are they former employees? They've all been terminated, or are they trying to prevent termination?
No, we're trying to prevent termination. There's one employee who is facing being terminated at the close of business today. The opposing counsel, when we filed our motion, jumped for a temporary restraining order, jumped in and said, hey, can we push this hearing back, you know, a couple of days so that we have a chance to read and respond? And I replied back to him in the court saying, well, listen, I'm sympathetic to your position, but the fact is you're firing one of our plaintiffs at the end of the day. So, no, we have to do this right now. And then some of the others, you know, are facing termination in the very near future.
Do you have a hearing set for today, Matt?
No, we don't. So what we did is we filed a motion for an ex parte temporary restraining order. So this is one of these things where, just in plain English, if a matter comes in and, you tell the judge, I'm sorry for the interruption. I'm sorry for bypassing the usual procedures, but we need you to act right now, because if you don't, our client is going to suffer irreparable harm. So when you do that, it jumps to the top of the judge's docket. He does have the authority to go ahead and issue that order without a hearing. But if he does, he's supposed to set a hearing you know, as soon as possible to determine whether he's going to keep that order in place or whether to vacate it. So, and by the way, just so you and your listeners know, if I have to jump off here early on, I apologize in advance, but things are happening in real time. So if I get a call from the court, no offense to you guys, but I'm going to have to jump off and take that.
No, man, I'm thinking, you know, as an attorney, I can just tell you that I have had to interrupt many things in my life because judges call. So this is certainly a big one. And if that happens, brother, you just let us know. But for right now, as we continue on with the conversation here, while we got you. So now you filed suit. This is a combination of questions of both federal and state law. But since it has a federal question involved, it did go to the federal district court in the Northern District of Alabama. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So you know, the federal court in Huntsville is going to be considering this. And you're right. It involves a combination of federal and state law. So on the federal level, you have the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which says that when an employee has a religious objection to something that his work is requiring of him, then the employer has to offer him an accommodation unless it would work a substantial hardship on the employer. And then you got the Americans with Disabilities Act, which provides, you know, protection for some people that have medical issues with complying with some work requirements, too. So we asserted both of those. And then finally, on the state level, Alabama wanted to step up and make protections for people facing religious and medical problems even stronger than the federal level. So last week, as I'm sure you and your listeners know, the legislature passed a bill saying, you know, pretty simply, all right, if you have a religious objection, here's the form that you have to fill out. And once your employer gets this, they can't fire you over it. And if they do, you get to appeal to the Department of Labor. And it's kind of the same thing for medical issues, except, you know, you had to have a doctor testify that this was a legitimate issue. But if you had that, then you're protected. So we raised both the federal and the state laws in defense of these employees.
Yeah, so that law you just talked about, the state law that was passed, that was Senate Bill 9, which was enacted I think the governor signed it, a week ago today.
Yeah, that's right.
Thereabouts. And you're right, that one creates the format or streamlines the processes, because we had employers all over this state and the nation, for that matter, everybody had their own version of how to handle requests for exemptions, and there was no rhyme or reason to it, some of which were very punitive and investigative and kind of, you know, intimidating, and others were just, you know, being very, very accommodating and giving it to them if they asked. So this streamlined the processes for the exemption. And so you've sued under that brand new law is what you're telling me.
Yeah, that's right. As far as I know, this is the very first lawsuit invoking that new law that we're seeing anywhere in the state. So we've got it. We're, you know, it's unusual to ask federal judges to enforce state law, but they do have the authority to do it if you properly invoke their jurisdiction, which we've done. So we're going to see what the federal court thinks of this new law. But if they agree with us that, you know, the law is that pretty well, you know, is pretty well that black and white, the courts should, you know, hopefully, you know, raise it in defense of our clients.
All right. Well, listen, hey, Matt, can you, I mean, the judge hadn't called yet, so can you hang on during the break? Can you do that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, hang on during the break, man. We're going to come right back from this short break. What I'd like to do, Matt, is sort of get the human factor of who your plaintiffs are and the fact that they were willing to put their names on the line. So we'll do that when we get back. Hey, Phil Absolutely. Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We're breaking news right now. Brand new lawsuit filed over a story that we broke on this show just a few weeks ago. United Launch Alliance being sued by its employees for violating both federal and state law, potentially. We'll see how it goes. More with Matt Clark when we get right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Going back to the phones right now, I hope we still have our buddy Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. Matt, you still there, bud?
Yep, judge hasn't called yet, so I'm still here.
Okay, all right, well, good deal. Well, listen, Matt, so one of the things that really strikes me about this case is, you know, your folks are willing to put their names on the line. And so you've got five plaintiffs seeking to be, you know, declared a class or and certified as a class on behalf of all others similarly situated. And these folks have put their names actually on the suit. They've submitted affidavits with the complaint. And they're facing some issues. Like one of them, I believe it's one of your plaintiffs has two daughters with congenital heart defects, and losing his job, your press release says, would result in the loss of his health insurance and jeopardize his daughter's chances of getting the medical care they need. So there's a real human factor involved here. It's not just pushing back on mandates. It's taking care of people. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, you know, my heart really goes out to that client because, you know, my wife has the same, you know, congenital heart defect. And so, you know, fortunately, she's in a good spot right now. But, you know, when I heard that, I put myself in his shoes and I found myself thinking, man, what if it was me, you know? And your immediate reaction is, yes, I'd hope that, you know, the justice system would, you know, would step in. And if I've raised a proper legal ground for putting this thing on hold, I would really hope that a court would step in and say, hey, time out. You know, we at least have to temporarily stop you from firing these people until we get this sorted out. One of our clients has those two daughters with a congenital heart defect. We got another one, Sherry Main, who is very close to retirement age. And she was hoping to retire from this company and have that be it. She's the principal breadwinner in her family. But if she gets fired now, you know, that's really going to hurt her ability to retire. I believe, you know, it would have a big impact on her pension, you know, if she's let go right now. And then she's also expressed concern that, you know, because of because she's a little bit more, you know, senior, that her chances of being rehired at another company would probably not be good. Because even though technically it's illegal to discriminate in hiring based on age, you know, the reality is it happens all the time. So these are people that are facing very real world issues beyond just loss of income. I'll tell you one more, and then I'll break. We got one more client who is trying to purchase his new home. They've been in the process of trying to secure that. The deal was almost done. And then if he loses his job, you know, his ability to qualify for a mortgage is probably going to go away. So that's going to fall through too. You know, I just moved within the last year. Remember how much of a headache all that was. So to have, you know, the carpet ripped out from under me in the process, if I were going through it, man, that would be a lot to deal with. So I really feel for these clients and happy to go to bat for them.
Well, I'm so glad you're there, and I appreciate you being joined in this also by John Eastman. But let me ask you this too, Matt. Have you heard anything from United Launch Alliance? Have they made any public statements about this suit or about changing their positions or anything like that?
No, not yet. I did speak with opposing counsel this morning, and you know they first called me trying to make sure that they had, you know, the basics of what was going on, because there was a little bit of a communication, you know, breakdown on their end. And then I heard back again, there's been another attorney for ULA who has entered a notice of appearance, and his he hasn't talked to me about the case or tried to negotiate, but he asked the court saying, hey, listen, I'm just jumping in. I got notified of this today. Can we push, you know, this back a few days and have a hearing so I can respond? And as a fellow attorney, I mean, you know, if another attorney asks me for a little bit more time so that he can prepare, I'm usually inclined to grant it. But in this case, because one of our clients is facing getting the axe today at close of business, I had to jump in and say, Your Honor, you know, we can consider a hearing a few days after, but for right now, we're going to stick with our guns and ask you to issue an order restraining them for firing him. Because if you wait until the beginning of next week, it's going to be over for this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, man, listen, you've got five of the employees signed up right now with their names on the line, and everybody, the whole world knows who they are. But anecdotally, are you hearing from the other employees? Are they glad this is happening? Are you hearing any kind of an undercurrent of the employee base appreciating the fact that some of their members have stood up?
Yeah, I am. I got a call earlier this morning from a gentleman who works at ULA who applied for a medical exemption, and that got denied. And you know, by that point, everything was in, you know, everything was in motion. It's not like I could just snap my fingers and add him, but you know, he's standing up waving his hand saying, hey, me too. And I know of one other ULA employee who has had a little bit more success trying to work with the company, but I know for a fact that he's glad. And you know, if his case goes south, I know he wants to jump in on this too. So that's at least two ULA employees that have talked to me and given me favorable feedback.
Do you have any idea, Matt? I mean, ULA sort of inexplicably, because the federal mandate deadline was December 8th, I believe, and now it's January 4th, so it's even further back. But yet, for some reason that no one's really fully understood, ULA sort of seemingly arbitrarily set their deadline as October 29th. So I assume they've already let go some people. Do you know how many people have been let go because they didn't meet the mandate, the deadline of October 29th?
I don't know yet. I know one of our clients, I think he's one of the earliest that I know of, was set to be let go today. You know, they already made this decision that, you know, today was going to be his last day. So right now, I think their position is, well, he's already been fired. Hanging in there, you know, until the end of the day is just kind of a formality. And we're saying, no, he hasn't been fired until he's gone. But I don't know of, you know, anybody else has been let go at this time. But I'll tell you what, Phil, I wouldn't be surprised if there are a bunch of folks who have been let go, have been let go improperly, and, you know, ULA is going to have to face some feedback for letting them go without giving due consideration to their religious or medical reasons for not getting the vaccine.
Well, brother, this is the reason why Alabama Center for Law and Liberty was formed, and I am certainly glad that you are on the march here, and I appreciate what you're doing. You've had some great wins this past year, fighting back in Montgomery and in Birmingham at UAB. And then you've got another suit right now for Tony Pugh and Fab Arc, and now this one. So thank you for what you're doing, and I want you to keep us posted on this, okay?
Absolutely, will do. And thank you for what you're doing as well. So I know we've talked about it might not do a lot of good to have a message if you don't have the means of getting it out. So thanks for what you're doing, staying on this and sounding the alarm and drawing attention to it. Really appreciate you.
All right, brother. Listen, good luck. Keep us posted. We'll talk to you soon, okay? All right, folks, that was Matt Clark. Matt Clark with the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. You heard it. We broke this story here a few weeks ago. There was a group of employees, if you remember, that had walked out of United Launch Alliance because they were being forced to get the vaccine against their will without any consideration for their request for exemptions. The deadline also being set arbitrarily, it seemed, for October 29th, whereas the rest of the world was allowed to wait till December, now January. And then on top of all of that, we had somebody call into the show that same day and talk about the fact that this was happening, and they had been there and been told that they were considered essential employees just 9 months ago in the midst of the pandemic, and they all came to work during the pandemic anyway, and now they're being treated like this. And we broke that story on this show, and then 1819 News made a story out of it, and now ACLL, the Center for Law and Liberty, has made a lawsuit out of it. I'm just telling you, folks, if that ain't a swirl of things happening, I don't know what is. That's one of the reasons why this show exists, is to make sure that people's words are getting out there. And I am glad of it, and I hope for justice for these folks at ULA. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. More of that when we get back.